Good morning, friends. Last week you were more energized. Why don't we repeat what we did last week? Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Oh, there you go. It's always a great joy and an honor whenever we are provided an opportunity to come in the house of the Lord for fellowship. We've been so great with our music. It's amazing. Even though, you know, it's summertime, but, you know, at least you deserve a hand, sure enough. You've been so great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I would want to thank God that today I could stand and share. I wasn't feeling well, you know, starting on Wednesday, but, you know, I want to thank Emily. Where is she? I can't see her. Oh, she's at the back there. But, you know, she cared for me to an extent that I'm surprised that I'm right here. So, Emily, thank you, my beloved wife. I want to thank you so much. And the young kids who nursed me in a surprising way, you three guys, you were wonderful. Thank you so much. I want to thank you. Thank you. Today, I would want to share on the theme self-awareness, understanding who we are. We've been so blessed by God, but oftentimes we identify more of our challenges than we hold on more onto our challenges, to an extent that we forget the positive things that are happening in our lives. Oftentimes, if you talk of things that are happening in this country, you hear people counting, you know, all their negative experiences to an extent that they can no longer share with fellow human beings some positive things that they are experiencing. Today, we just learned of a girl, 8-year-old girl, Austin, Texas, who reached out to officers who were sitting in a restaurant, and she said, "Officers, how can I pray for you?" And the officers, as the girl shared with us, she realized that the officers were surprised. But she was ready for this kind of reaction. And she stayed, paused, and she said, "You know, how can I pray for you?" And the officers reluctantly said, "Well, go ahead." She said their prayer, but guess what? They opened up. They were vulnerable in the presence of this 8-year-old girl and emptied their frustration, their challenge, their pain after having lost their beloved fellow police officer. But it took an 8-year-old girl to reach out and step out and say, "Officers, how can I pray for you?" But yet, oftentimes, we don't hear more of those stories. You know, when we listen to people at times, you not realize that today, this morning, here at Milford Mill, we had a young individual leading us in worship service, continuing what the young people have been doing here, leading the worship service. And oftentimes we hold on to how our young people are making some mistakes and making some wrong choices. But here we are, can we join together and just celebrate seeing our young individual seated with us, leading worship service? The other day we had a Sunday morning where Kyle just stepped up and together with Jeff, they led us in song, and at the end of the singing, they just embraced and hugged and smiled at each other. Can we capture those stories and go and share with the friends and say, "Guess what? Today at our church, there are this organist in our church,
And this other young guy who is in college, they led us in worship. And oh, it was so beautiful. It was so powerful. I was touched. Can we take those stories and share with folks?
In our environment, we are challenged to step back and identify ways our world was shaped and continue to be shaped by those around us. These are examples of people who are shaping our world in a positive way, and we can stand up and be counted among individuals who are seizing opportunities in this century to make a difference. Some small ways. You know, at times we wait and say, well, you know, I really want to make a big impact. I wait for an opportunity when I really make a big impact. But yet, it's amazing how small actions, they end up even impacting people in a big way. In a big way. Oftentimes we hear people say, well, you know what? I'm an introvert. Some say I'm an extrovert. It's good to utilize these resources that are out there, such as DISC profile, Myers-Briggs type indicator. They help us understand ourselves better. But yet, they're not supposed to serve as purpose of stopping us from accomplishing what God has placed on our hearts. These are supposed to be tools that make us more aware for our potential, possible limitations, and how we may navigate through the challenges. If you realize you are an introvert, don't stop and say, well, you know myself, I'm just an introvert. Then you stop there. But you say, now, God, you have beautifully gifted me. Now, how can I navigate that now I have identified and realized that I'm an introvert? Now, how can I beam and shine and glorify you and present you to fellow human beings in the way that you have graced me and blessed me? Oftentimes, the default culture is the usual thing, the negativity that is in our communities. Oftentimes, we have a tendency to have that as our default. But yet we are called to go beyond the usual default and recognize this is my usual default. How can I rise up and go beyond my usual default? This calls us to build a bridge with those whom we hope to share the gospel of Jesus with. There are people who are hungering to hear the good news. But yet, oftentimes we just stop by identifying things that will stop us from sharing the good news with those individuals. But yet, oftentimes when we pause and we identify the limitations, yet when we stand before the grace of God and allow God's Spirit to dwell inside us, God will empower us to find ways that we can navigate and build bridges with those whom we feel as though we cannot communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we sit side by side with those individuals and listen to their stories, oftentimes we find there is room for us to share the good news. Oftentimes it takes for us to just sit and listen. Then an opportunity opens up, and there we seize the opportunity to share the good news.
As we work with our young individuals who are so much into their technology, oftentimes it's not about, you know, challenging them to stop using their technology. And our focus becomes stopping them to use their technology. But now to remind them, now there are apps that are available that they can use for devotions. Then encourage our young people as you use the technology. It's good that you're able to use this technology, but can you pause for a moment and maybe spare 10 minutes of your day to make sure that you utilize 10 minutes of your day just to use the devotionals that are available online, and just spend some time understanding and learning more about how you can grow and become a better citizen of this global village through the resources that God has made available to us? Is there a way that we can remind our young people that they can connect with their beloved friends, whether even if they're in here in worship service, whether they love a picture that is in this sanctuary and they think of their friends? Can we allow them to interrupt and maybe take a picture and send them, maybe if they want to pass on by Instagram? Can we allow them to utilize those resources and not focus and say maybe they're doing something wrong? Can we trust them as our young people and say they are using this resource when they are seated here in worship service? They are not texting for a wrong reason. Maybe they are singing the song that Sister Robin led us this morning. It touched my heart. There's this music director at our church. Oh, she really inspired me. She smiled when she was leading at a time when we were greeting. It was a unique greeting this morning because of the way that she led. Can we allow them to reach out and connect in their own way, but with our support and encouragement, and trusting them that they will use these resources for a good reason? This is a generation that is ready to do. They're ready to take action. They are no longer in the business of, you know, can we talk more about this? Then they spend an hour talking about something. But here we have a generation that is ready to go. And they're asking questions. There are homeless people over there. They have been there for a long time, and the church has been in existence for a long time, and this has been a national problem for a long time. How can the church transform and translate homelessness into an opportunity where they will say, now homelessness through the churches, it has been made a history. Our generation has stepped up and say, declared homelessness a thing that will be declared a thing of the past right here in this 21st century. Can we step up as a church and say, we are going to be part of this? Because previous generations, in the time of Great Depression, some seized that opportunity. And that's the time when Hoover Dam was constructed, when others were busy, obsessed by the fact that there was a Great Depression. But some looked around and said, here's an opportunity for us. While there's Great Depression, it's time for us to build Hoover Dam. And Hoover Dam generates electricity that supplies several states. Why? Because while people are looking back and saying, Great Depression, we suffered a lot. But some people are looking back and saying, Great Depression times, that's the time when we constructed Hoover Dam. And we can do the same thing and say, during our time at Milford Mill, during our time, we seized the time, and this is the time when we reached out in our community in a new way. Tuesday, the community will be gathered here. The neighborhood community will be gathered here. One Saturday, they are gathered out there, and they were ready trashing and carrying things out here using our parking lot. And that's the business of the church. The church is supposed to be available 24/7, partnering with different agencies and saying, yes, if you want to partner with us, we are available to work with you. If it is about making a difference in our community, if it is meant to make life better for people, we are available as a church. If it, our agenda is community, if our agenda are children, if our agenda are senior citizens, it's our agenda, if our agenda, they are vulnerable people, as a church, we will walk with you. Then indeed, people will look and say, the church is marching on. 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 Because that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 28. Go. Go. Your business is about going. It's never about sitting. It's never about too much talk and talk and talk. It's not about putting this individual down and putting this individual down and elevating this one and pulling this one down. But it's about how can I love you better than the way that I loved you yesterday. It's about go, 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 go and build this brother. Go and build this sister. Go and build this neighbor. Go, go, go. It's about going. So, the more we get closer, it helps us shape further into community. The more we reach out and say, brother, I want to have a meal with you. I want to just have a minute with you over a cup of coffee. You realize that you grow and you grow in loving one another even better. When we share stories with our friends, with our neighbors, it fuels the sense and loyalty of community. When we take time to share beautiful stories, it empowers fellow human beings. Reflecting on how the story of Jesus has impacted us. When we share with individuals, this is how Jesus has impacted me. Last night, I was presiding over a celebration service of a woman who had colon cancer. And they had said she was no longer going to make it. And she had surgery in India. And now they took out most of her intestines. And she said, guess what? This is what God did for me. And the kids who had given up and who had resigned and who were ready to bury their mom were just in tears last night as I presided over this prayer of celebration. And they were just hugs to witness the miracle of medicine where people trust in God and dedicate the medical procedures, dedicate the medical practitioners, and trust in God and wait upon God. And they were in jubilation, celebrating. And the mom was saying, now I just have this small portion and I'm just allowed to eat just a small portion. But this is now what I have, just a small piece that will contain just a small little amount of food. That was a story she was sharing with us last night. And her story impacted me. You and I, we have stories that we can share with fellow human beings. For example, one time when Bible study, Wayne, our brother Wayne there, and others were the personage there doing Bible study. So we are discussing this term called saints. That is in the Bible. So we started by saying, who was ready to be called a saint?
Then everybody else said, no, 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 not me. Genevieve said, no. Catherine said, no, not my, no, not me, not me. I'm not a saint. Wayne said, what? Saint? No. But at the end of the day, when we are closing, when we are getting ready to close our session, everybody said, you know, Wayne was saying, you know, I want to go and surprise Noel and say, here comes Saint Wayne. We are all ready to go and say, now I am a saint. Why? Because we sat together and we started reflecting on what saint means. What does it mean to be called a saint? And we realized, based on the original meaning of saint in the Greek language, it just simply means we've been set apart. We've been set apart. God has called us. It is God who has set us aside. It is God who has graced us. It is God who has washed us. It is God who has renewed us. And at the end of the day, we agreed that indeed has God set us aside, has God graced us with his forgiveness? Yes. And we realize, therefore, we can go back and say, here comes Saint Wayne. So the next Sunday I said, Noel, were you surprised? Then she just started laughing. She just started laughing. Those stories, my friends, when we come together and build relationships through Jesus Christ, when we start to make this relationship with Jesus Christ so significant, so pivotal in our lives, where we leave room for us to trust in Jesus and build a relationship with Jesus Christ, where we become friends with Jesus Christ, where we realize, like I shared last Sunday, we are siblings with Jesus Christ, for he invites us to be in his presence so he can wash us, he can renew us and strengthen us and refresh us, and he allows us to be partakers of his grace, to an extent that he calls us his beloved and his brothers and sisters, so we are his siblings. That way we develop confidence to an extent that we can share our faith with fellow beings. Why? Because we realize it is the doing of the Lord. It is God who has been doing and working the mysteries of grace in our lives. So if it is God who has been doing it, therefore we can freely, freely, like we sang this morning, we can freely, freely share and live out our faith with our fellow human beings. We can therefore celebrate and make and build bridges, bridges of love. When we realize Beth is an example, is a gift. And when we realize death is not the end, but there is hope in resurrection and the promised coming of our Savior who reunites us and bonds us once more together. Therefore, when we encounter loss, we realize that's not the end, but we stand holding on the promise of Jesus Christ in anticipation of reunion, to an extent that when we realize that Christ calls us to be partakers of his grace, we can now grow into building intergenerational relationships where our young people realize we can stop and pause and listen and hear their stories and encourage them. Our millennials, work with them and grow, help them grow their faith. In the same way that we engage the baby boomers and incorporate an international approach. For example, United Methodist Church has embraced the idea that, you know, we want to be connected with the global village. That's why once in a year, the United Methodist Church has set aside a day that they refer to as a World Day Communion Sunday, to say today, the whole world, we are united. We are united with the global church. When we celebrate communion, we know fellow believers who are in Japan, who are in the Philippines, wherever, who are in Nigeria, wherever, who are in Senegal, they are united with us
as we remember and declare Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord, and we come before the table in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We are united that way. So in celebration of World Communion Sunday, that's one example of an international approach that the church has embraced. And today, here at Milford Mill, we can formulate our own international approach in addition to the initiatives of the church. For instance, we can come up with a day that will say, friends, if you have been to Japan and if you know how to cook a Japanese meal, this day we have set aside International Sunday at Milford Mill. If you have a song that you know from Indonesia, we want you to sing that song in that language, and we sit here, and after that fellowship we go out and we mingle and we eat. Whether you have Jamaican food, it's on the table, and you say, taste, here is the Japanese food, and there's Indian food, if it is so spicy, and you say, oh sure, it's so spicy, oh I need some water, and we just hug one another in fellowship, beautiful fellowship. One example of in an international approach, building fellowship and building community. Relationship with our neighbors. We are surprised, Emily and I, we have a neighbor who decided to gather all the neighbors. She just reached out to us and said, you know, can you please come? There's nothing. And it was just, you know, water, just some few drinks there, and people just in the neighborhood, we just sat and had some people were drinking water, and we just sat for just an hour, and we were just together in community. Building community. Just sitting together and saying we are building relationships. And we just started laughing, oh, your flowers and all that and all that. And we started learning more about one another and growing to build a community. The same applies to us as a church. Can we reflect and say, how best can we build community inside our church? But not ending there. For at times the church has had this tendency. Not, I'm not referring to Milford Mill, but I'm referring to church in general, where they have a tendency to just look inside and build relationship inside. But can we broaden, build relationship inside and look outside and say, here we are. Last Sunday I shared about how can we relate on the day that we are going to host a flea market here. Can we pause for a moment and say, we have served this, we have hosted this flea market day each year in and year out. Can we do it in a different way where we build community with our neighbors and realize and reach out to them and say, how can we pray for you? One is an example. Can we reach out and say, here we are Milford Mill. We are not just fundraising. We don't want a face of a fundraiser out there, just that. But we are a community of believers who are here to build community and nurture individuals so that they may grow in knowing God. That's why relationship with our neighbors, we are reminded, let's not get tired of doing what is good. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let's not get tired. There are some people who are saying, Pastor, that's what I've been doing all these years. So far, you haven't mentioned anything new. Fine brother, fine sister, do not get tired. That's the new thing that I have to share with you. Do not tire. Keep doing what you have been doing. Grow and keep growing in doing the right thing. Raphael suggests that self-awareness affords us insight into who we are so that we are conscientious enough to step back from time to time to allow others to step forward. Great giants, people of faith, what they do is they allow others to step forward. They create room enough for others to grow in so many other different areas, whether it's music, whether it's leadership. People step back and allow others to grow. One time, Moses was standing in line and people were waiting for him. They were all standing in line waiting for Moses to make the judgment. And Jethro had this suggestion to Moses. Moses, why are you making those people stand in line and wait for you the whole day so you will make judgment on them? Why don't you allow others to make decisions and help them grow? Moses, from that day, realized that he could create room for others, and nothing was going to be taken away from him. But instead, he was going to grow a bigger community, a stronger community. As brothers and sisters, as a community of believers, one thing that we are called about to do, as Raffle challenges us, is at times to step back and create room and say, young individual, you can do what I'm doing. You can sing the song that I'm singing. You can smile the smile that I'm giving. And here now I'm giving you room. Grow, grow, and I will encourage you. And I will say, go, young man, go, young girl. Yes, you are doing it right. Keep going, keep running, keep running. There's a very good model in Paul who said, Timothy, my beloved. Timothy, my beloved, and he built Timothy, and Timothy started growing, growing, and growing. Who is your Timothy? Who is your Timothy? Who is my Timothy? Whom am I nurturing to grow in stature, to grow in faith, to an extent that I look back and I say, here is the seed that I have sowed in this individual, and here is how they have grown. Sharing, sharing. The more we become self-aware, we start leaving room and growing others and empowering others and seeing the good in others. And saying, you are very good with this. I marvel when I see our sister Robin sing lead. She just does it with ease. And I say, Sister Robin, how do you do it? Because I can hardly carry a tune, my sister. How do you do it? When we can see that and say, Sister Robin is so gifted, then we build a stronger community because we are gathering people, identifying their gifts and saying, yes, sail through, fly high with this gift of yours. And then we grow and build a stronger community, a giant that will stand in Jesus' name. For Jesus is saying, go, I'm sending you. Go and make disciples. Go and make. Which means Jesus has already trusted us. Jesus has already resourced us. All we need to do is to trust ourselves and to trust Jesus and go with confidence and say, my Jesus has sent me. My Jesus has resourced me. And here I go to make disciples. For God has already gifted me. Each and every one of us here, whether you are small, whether you are whatever age, God has blessed us. You have a gift. All you need to do is to step up and say, Pastor, Milford Mill, here's my gift. Here's what I can do here at Milford Mill. Is there space for me to do what God has gifted me to do? And sure enough, there is room for you here at Milford Mill to excel and to grow in your giftedness. Will you allow Christ to send you and follow his lead? For he is indeed sending each and every one of us. He is saying, I trusted you. And go, go. Never stop, but keep going and going and going. Never tire, never give up on the thing that God has called you to do. In Jesus, the Savior's name, amen and amen.